The Cessna Skycatcher, recalling early industry impressions. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. There were certainly skeptics who thought Cessna's decision to build its new LSA, the 162 Skycatcher, in China, would delay volume deliveries. Then came the spin testing accidents, production issues, and even the more pessimistic predictions of 3 years ago started to look overly rosy. Finally, copies of this neat little plane are starting to reach the customers who've been waiting, including hundreds going to Cessna pilot centers. Yesterday, we got some initial impressions on the plane from CFI Bob Miller, whose flight school near Buffalo, New York, had a paying student in the air an hour after taking delivery of a 162. Today, we're going to glance back to some interviews conducted during EAA AirVenture 2007 and the 2008 U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida. What you'll hear today are audio highlights sourced from video interviews released by Aero TV the week of March 3rd, 2008. They'll include parts of Jim Campbell's interview with Cessna Skycatcher project engineer Neil Wilford, conducted inside a 162. We'll hear that in a few moments. But first, impressions of the Skycatcher and its significance from Cessna CEO Jack Pelton, EAA President Tom Poberesny, and Martha King of the King Schools.
Jack, obviously everybody was coming to Oshkosh with a couple of questions on their mind, but the biggest one was obviously Cessna, LSA, what's going on? You're here. It's here. It's gorgeous. What really is going to happen now as far as Cessna's entry into LSA?
Well, Jim, last year I think you saw the proof of concept and you said, Jack, are you really going to do this? And when are you going to do this? And today is the day that we are doing it. We're taking orders today. We're excited about going into production on what is our Cessna entry into the light sport market. It's the Cessna Model 162 Skycatcher.
The kids today with Microsoft Flight Sim and others, they're getting virtual time that is as real as what you and I got when we were learning how to fly. And so they're coming to an expectation. This is what they expect to see in terms of the cockpit and style and flight capability for a light airplane. And what I'm confident is that once they learn how to fly an airplane like this, they'll continue to work their way up to other airplanes, whether it's the Cessna family or others that come along.
They're going to be using this airplane for the private pilot course as well as sport pilot, and we provide the training programs for the Cessna pilot centers. And we've already started working on the syllabus, and we're very eager to get our hands on an actual airplane so that we can start doing the in-flight segments with it.
We really didn't see the real vision until the regulatory process was done and we started the infrastructure building and realized that it was important that companies who could give credibility and validation such as Cessna get engaged. And we were very fortunate that Jack Pelton was at the head of Cessna because he was willing to share the vision, saw what was needed, and was able to put in infrastructure in terms of a business case that made this a reality.
I'm a strong general aviation advocate, and when I look at the trends, that's concerning. When I look at the kids that live in my neighborhood, that they aren't flying model airplanes and they're not looking to the sky dreaming of flying. And a lot of it, I think, is due to affordability, and there's nothing fun and exciting out there to grab them.
They're coming up from having flown flight simulators, whether it's Microsoft Flight Simulator or some other, and they've got experience with glass cockpits. They've got expectations of a technologically exciting airplane to learn to fly in, and boy, oh boy, this is really going to make them happy.
You know, while we're attracting a lot of young people, they do need to have a flight instructor in the right-hand seat. And I think one of the concerns of some of the older airplane is it's just too uncomfortable. There's not enough elbow room to go out and do effective training and to have it be a comfortable environment. So that was one of the criteria we looked real hard at.
The tendency is to not think about the inside of the airplane, and that's where you spend most of your time. So the cockpit design, the ergonomic comforts are going to go a long way in selling the new pilot start in terms of being part of the aviation community.
I look at the 140 I learned to fly in, and I ask myself, how did I ever get in there with a flight instructor? It's so small. We've solved that, and we've also put, I think, an ergonomically well-designed panel layout that will really grab people's attention when they come out to the airport to see it for the first time.
It's an exciting airplane, and I think it's going to bring a lot of enthusiastic new people into aviation.
In a moment, Jim Campbell proves beyond a doubt that whatever its other virtues, the cabin of a Skycatcher is not a great recording studio. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Aero TV released a four-part video feature on the Cessna Skycatcher the week of March 3rd, 2008. We're excerpting audio from that series today to recall early industry reaction to the 162 from Oshkosh and Sebring in 2007 and 2008. To more fully appreciate the improvement in cabin roominess compared to earlier entry-level Cessna piston singles, Jim Campbell actually went inside the cabin to talk with Neil Wilford, Cessna Skycatcher project engineer.
At the 2008 U.S. Sport Aviation Expo, obviously one of the main stars here has to be Cessna. Cessna has revitalized a lot of interest in LSA with the announcement of the 162 Skycatcher. At the same time, a little controversy arose when they made a decision to build the airplane in part in China. While a lot of the components, Teledyne's engine, Garmin's panel, and a lot of equipment is going to come from the United States and produce a lot of jobs here in the States, there will be some assembly in China and final assembly back in three locations in the U.S. The question of whether or not the market will bear it is being answered here, because while there are some folks who really like to see it built elsewhere, the main response to anybody who comes up, tries it out, gets inside, finds out they've got headroom and legroom and a beautiful little panel and a neat stick and everything else is three words: I want one. Neil, first of all, welcome to Aero TV, and thanks for spending a little bit of time here in a surprisingly spacious cabin for what is a basic aircraft. I'm kind of surprised. We're shoulder to shoulder. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to have to announce their engagement afterwards. I've got plenty of headroom and plenty of legroom. Mm-hmm. Nice job.
Well, great, thanks.
Well, Neil, let's broach on a subject that's gotten a little bit of a buzz of late. Mm-hmm. Cessna, of course, is trying its best to provide an LSA that, one, meets the mission, mm-hmm. and two, is affordable to all. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, in this day and age, that required some compromises, and the compromise in this particular case means some assembly in China. Mm-hmm. There are some folks that doesn't sit well with, and there are some folks who are just overjoyed that this thing doesn't cost $170,000 to $180,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we worked the business case, we looked at what it would take to build the airplane, either in the U.S. or some foreign built, some domestic, and we knew we had to be competitive with other LSA manufacturers, but we also, as a company, know what it takes to really be in the business and have good product support and good networks of whether it's parts or service. And so we carefully worked through everything, and we saw, as I think as other manufacturers have found, that we needed to look internationally.
Let's look at a couple of scenarios here. If you had done this in the United States, as mm-hmm. I am, the rumors suggest $170,000 to $180,000 to build this airplane. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I couldn't tell you for sure because I don't know the exact differences, but it would certainly be more than what we're doing today.
Most of the componentry, all the major componentry, mm-hmm. and all the major dollars are still coming out of the U.S., correct?
Right. Yeah. Again, the materials are purchased from U.S. companies that make them. Many of the major suppliers, you know, the product is being shipped over there, and then like the Continental and the Garmin, and, mm-hmm. and then they'll fly it and ship it back.
And then you've got three service centers here in the United mm-hmm. States that'll do the final assembly, test fly, and hand it over to folks who want to go play.
That's right.
Outstanding. And, of course, the other thing, too, to keep it, you know, I'm trying to take the one side of this right now, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's so many things that do argue for it, because it was an either-or. Either you had the airplane or you didn't, based on the decisions that were made. But mm-hmm. ultimately, also, this means hundreds of jobs for the U.S., doesn't it?
Right. Because especially, you know, one of the main reasons when we were looking at this a few years ago, getting in, was the fact that the flight training has gotten so expensive. We needed a low-cost 150, right. 152 type airplane. I learned to fly in a 150, and you know, it was certainly cheap. And even then, it was an old airplane when I learned. But to lower the cost to get people into aviation.
So there you have it, the decisions, the information, everything that came into making the Skycatcher decision, and then, of course, the decision to work in China. By and large, sweet little airplane, good ideas, and, of course, Cessna design, engineering, and styling.
To find all four parts of the video feature from which this audio was sourced, and an additional feature focusing on the Skycatcher's Continental 0200D engine, visit www.aero-tv.net and click on the Archives link. Select 2008, then the week of March 3rd through the 7th. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.